Hi, so welcome to Module 1, Lesson 4. As you can see, we're going to be looking at where is the United Nations today. Now, today we're going to look a little bit at from the historical perspective. Part of it is its geographic location and how it has actually moved and come to be where it is, and to look just very briefly at some of the renovations that are going on. But what's important about that are the implications for NGOs that these renovations are having. This is a little unclear, but we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Tomorrow we're going to look a little bit more at where we might find some of the member states or the main members of this preeminent intergovernmental organization, and how we can find them, where we would need to go, and some of the implications of where they are for what you as NGOs need to do to interact with them. So that's going to take care of today and tomorrow, and then next week we're going to begin to dive right into the UN Charter, the structure, the organs, the more detailed aspects, structural aspects of the United Nations, not in terms of the building, but in terms of the formalized relations that make up and constitute the framework for a lot of what goes on within and around the United Nations. So that's very quickly where we are. Now back to 1945. In San Francisco, 51 member countries met for the San Francisco Conference, April 25th to June 26th. And what these countries, and you can see most of them there, what these countries had before them were proposals that had been put together by the four sponsoring countries who had been working and negotiating around this idea of the United Nations, and had put together the Dumbarton Oaks proposals back in August and October 1944. Now, these four sponsoring countries were the People's Republic of China, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Now, the 45 nations that were originally invited to join were actually those who were signatories of the January 1st, 1942 World War II declaration by United Nations that was agreed upon during the Arcadia Conference in Washington, D.C. And those 45 signatories, along with a couple of others requested to be added by some of that group, became the participants in the San Francisco 1945 conference. Now, one of these, Poland, did not attend because the composition of a new government was not announced until too late for the conference, but there was a space left for the signature of Poland as one of the original signatories. So the charter became the foundational treaty for the United Nations, and this was later ratified, and so it officially came into existence on the 24th of October in 1945. And at that time, it was ratified by those that became the permanent five, or China, France, Soviet Union, United Kingdom, and the United States, as well as the other major signatories. And so even today, United Nations Day is celebrated on the 24th of October every year. A few months later, on the 1st of February in 1946, Trygve Lie became the first Secretary General of the United Nations. And at that time, of course, there was no United Nations building. But the United Nations first took up its post, so to speak, or its location, its physical location, in Lake Success in New York. Now, the UN took up its temporary headquarters, first of all, in Hunter College, from March through June of 1946. And then in July, it moved to Lake Success, where it was until it then opened its very own permanent headquarters in 1950. Let's here take a quick look at a newsreel from 1946.
With an agenda weighted heavily with momentous world problems, the United Nations Security Council meets in its new temporary headquarters at Lake Success, Long Island, New York. Flags of 51 nations seeking worldwide peace fly before the council buildings as the sessions resume after a summer recess. Taking over as chairman is Poland's Dr. Oskar Lange. Russia's Gromyko sponsors two new membership applicants, Italy's near neighbor, Albania, and the other Soviet protege, Outer Mongolia. While the delegates ponder the issue, acting United States Representative Herschel Johnson, with Britain's Cadogan, threatens to veto the proposal. Once more, the machinery for world unity is set in motion.
So 3 years later, the Declaration of Human Rights was drafted and adopted November 1945 in Lake Success. And 1 year after that, the United Nations headquarters shifted from its temporary site in Lake Success to its more permanent place in Manhattan. As you can see, even when they made the move, things weren't in perfect conditions, but that was when the first offices were moved formally on the 1st of August in 1950. And shortly thereafter, on United Nations Day in 1950, the cornerstone of UN headquarters was laid. And this was done during a special open-air session of the General Assembly, which marked the fourth anniversary of the United Nations. And it was attended by the United States President Harry Truman, who was the principal speaker. Secretary General Trygve Lie deposited copies of the United Nations Charter and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in the stone. In this picture, you can see Secretary General Trygve Lie and Wallace Harrison, who was the chief architect, applying mortar to seal the cornerstone and to secure the foundations of the United Nations. Now today, where the United Nations is still undergoing some changes. Here you can see the windows being removed from the facade under the Capital Master Plan for the renovations that are going to take place for the next few years. Now, why bring this up? Putting it very simply, right at the moment, where is the United Nations in terms of the UN headquarters? Mostly it's still in its permanent location, but in fact many of the offices are spread throughout the metro area, mostly Manhattan, but in some other places as well. And it's not actually easy to find where they all are for security reasons. It also means that some of the access to the UN headquarters is limited, and especially for NGOs at this time. Now, why I raise this point is because this then raises some little red flags in some people's minds, as they're a little bit concerned that NGOs may not only have some of their access to the United Nations and therefore possibly limiting potential for interaction with the member states during this time, but there is an underlying concern that some of the access will not be fully reinstated afterwards. And so that's one of the points of discussion, and that is just to show you one of the multitude of issues that become a concern for NGOs and concern for the character and future of the United Nations, and in particular, the role of NGOs in the work and the mission of the United Nations. So back to looking at where is the United Nations today? The United Nations has main offices. Of course, its headquarters in New York. It has a major office area and campus in Geneva, Switzerland. It has an area in Vienna. And also then, the International Court of Justice resides at the Peace Palace in The Hague, the Nairobi offices in Kenya. So they're the main locations that the United Nations has around the world in terms of its headquarters. Now, of course, there are regional offices and the many agencies and program offices in many places, but they're the central headquarters locations. Coming back to New York for a moment, the United Nations headquarters, a little bit of more of the externals. You can see, most of you know that it is located between 40 2nd Street and 48th Street on the east side of 1st Avenue, between 1st Avenue and the East River. And I'm just going to show you what it looks like a little bit. Now, why is this important? Well, I'm certainly hoping that if you haven't already been there, that you will be able to recognize it when you walk along the street and be able to find your way in the visitor's entrance. Most NGOs actually still have to enter the visitor's entrance. Once upon a time, we could enter one of the other delegates' entrances or the secured entrances, but even that has shifted and changed in the last, actually since, pretty much since 2001, I guess, where there were a lot of security issues. And at that time, the whole UN was almost on lockdown for quite a while. There were barriers up on the street. There were actually dump trucks full of sand that basically formed the quickest version of a way to secure First Avenue in front of the United Nations, just in case there were any possibilities of truck bombs or anything at that time. That started a process of limiting access for NGOs. And so even today, we still cannot enter certain ways that we used to be able to. And now, especially with the renovations going on, that access is being further restricted. But here I just wanted to show you, and of course this is more like a spring scene opposed to one in winter and what it looks like right now at the time of making this video. These are just some of the things that you will recognize. The Secretariat building there, you can see the big brass ball, and then we have another very famous iconic sculpture of the nonviolence gun. So that is just to give you a little bit of a picture of where the United Nations is today. And we'll go inside a little bit more as we begin to look at the different council chambers and different areas and meeting rooms and how that all works as we get into the structure next week. But of course, here we haven't gone and looked at any of the where the peacekeeping forces are or how the UN is involved in many other areas of work around the world. We're just still really focusing on UN headquarters at this stage. So that pretty much wraps up this first part of this lesson's look at where is the United Nations today. We've focused mostly on its geographic component, a little bit in terms of its historical context. And now what I want you to do is a little bit of homework. I want you to find and plan to make a connection with some aspect of the United Nations near you. So here's your homework. First of all, I want you to find the United Nations near you. I don't know precisely where you live. You may live near a town or a city. You may live in a different country than America. But whatever it might be, there will be some component of the United Nations near you. And I want you to take the next 15 to 20 minutes just to research that, to find some place that is near you and to make a conscious decision that sometime in the near future, in the next week or 2 weeks, that you'll make an effort to call into the information centers. And here's the website address, or to one of the local offices and programs, and you can find where a lot of these are. And you can start by looking at under UNNGLS, which is the UN Non-Governmental Liaison Service that is specifically there to help NGOs to liaise with the United Nations. And you can find in the handbook section where many of the agencies are. And then, of course, another place to connect if there are none of those. Thank you.
Ha ha ha!